Let's turn to Mark chapter 14, Gospel of Mark in chapter 14. And I would like to leave time for the other two brethren to share this afternoon. You've been hearing about shepherds, a message directed mainly towards our male audience, and I would like to consider some women of faith found in the New Testament. I get a news feed from Nick Pitts, a PhD and Christian writer for the Denison Forum, who was writing about an article in the BBC concerning the lack of respect given to women. And he often gives a little commentary down below the news article with his own thoughts. And so he highlighted the leadership of Deborah, the bravery of Esther, and the persistence of Ruth. He said, and I quote, "Looking back, it is quite clear we are better today because of women's contributions from yesterday and their visions for tomorrow," end quote. And I agree. And you know, I got to thinking about some of our sisters, some of those that are mentioned in the New Testament, and there are a number. I'll look at the time, and I'll try to be done at 4. But there's some that I will not get to, but we may mention very briefly. I do request, though, that you men graciously do not shut me off at this point. A lot of ministry is often directed to the men. Whether you are fathers or husbands or hopefuls, God has or will put women into your life that you will need to protect and show affection to and will need your admiration. So I think this is worth your while as well. Let's read about this first woman in Mark chapter 14, beginning at verse 3. "And being in Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at meat, there was a woman having an alabaster box of ointment of spikenard, very precious, and she brake the box and poured it on his head. And there were some that had indignation within themselves and said, 'Why was this waste of the ointment made? For it might have been sold for more than 300 pence, 300 denarii, and have been given to the poor.' And they murmured against her. And Jesus said, 'Let her alone. Why trouble ye her? She hath wrought a good work on me. For ye have the poor with you always, and whensoever ye will, ye may do them good, but me ye have not always. She hath done what she could. She has come aforetime to anoint my body to the bearing. Verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached throughout the whole world, this also that she hath done shall be spoken of for a memorial of her.'" So I write over, there's a number of very beautiful characteristics that come out of this story regarding this woman, but I would like to write over this section, at least for my emphasis this afternoon, a woman of exceptional courage. A woman of exceptional courage, sandwiched between the hatred of the leaders who plotted to kill the Lord Jesus and the ruthless treachery of Judas to betray him. He was here in this section, we see the devotion and the courage and the sacrifice of this woman. Now, I had taken this passage to be parallel with John 12, and so I would take it that this woman is Mary of Bethany, the sister of Martha and Lazarus. Some sources say that this spikenard, this alabaster box, would have come from India and would have cost a great amount. Judas highlights 300 pence, which for an average man, they say, would be approximately a year's wage. For a woman in this culture, I wonder, I don't know, but I wonder, in this culture where women were treated much less than, how long would it have taken, maybe a lifetime of savings to accumulate such a sacrifice given to the Lord Jesus Christ? John 12, Judas is highlighted. In Matthew 26, all the disciples are mentioned. And here in Mark 14, it says, there were some who were indignant and they scolded her harshly. That's the NLT. It sounds like to me that the whole bunch were against her and possibly the others in Simon's house. Whatever else this woman had. I think we are all agreed here this afternoon, she had a lot of courage to pass the crowded number that were in this house, to pass the glaring eyes of these 12 disciples, and to hear the chatter and eventual indignant criticism, to use a very current expression, it took a lot of guts for this woman to do what she did. Now, I know Peter refers in his epistle, 1 Peter 3, to the woman as being the weaker vessel. I take that to be physically, which is debatable today with the extreme fitness gyms that we have around us. Some females I certainly wouldn't want to try to take on. The fact is, here in this passage, you can see there is no weakness. There is strength. There is moral strength. Strength to do the right thing regardless of the denunciation and the disapproval of men that should have known better. And to me, that is a very simple definition of what courage is. It is the willingness to do the right thing regardless of the cost. And as we look at the passage, we find that her courage is motivated by her love to Christ. And in the end, at the end of the day, and at the end of life, and when a person, and now I bring this not just to you sisters here who are listening to me, but to all of us, at the end of the day, when our lives are done and we are looking our Lord and Savior eye to eye, what really matters? What the disciples said? What these criticizers said? The Lord Jesus, he spoke up and he said, let her alone. I wonder if there should be an exclamation mark behind that little phrase. Let her alone. Because in the end, what really matters is what does Jesus say? What does Jesus think? We read the words of the Lord Jesus, and he said, she hath wrought a good work on me. The ESV says, she hath done a beautiful thing to me. So Jesus spoke up. And he did at least two things. Number one, he protected her. He protected her. And that is the responsibility of fathers and of husbands and of shepherds to protect. And he commended her. Divine approval in the end is really all that matters. I was listening to an interview. It was Dr. Helen Rosevear who was being interviewed, and she was certainly a woman of courage. She was a missionary to the Congo and passed away on December 7, 2016. I listened to the interview where she talked about her experience during the Civil War in 1964. And she was dragged from her home and kicked and insulted and cursed and eventually raped by her captors. And she talked about the question that guided her life. The question that she always asked was this: is it worth it? Is it worth it? And the answer to that question was, yes, it was worth it to leave homeland and go to the Congo. Yes, it is worth it to share the gospel. Yes, it is worth it to give of my possessions for the needy among whom I work. But after the events of the Civil War, her question changed. Not too much, but it changed. It changed from, is it worth it, to, is he worthy? Is he worthy? And I listened to this elderly lady talking. And of course, the answer stayed the same. Yes, he is worthy of my full devotion. He is worthy of me, a Christian, doing the right thing. But the focus changed from me to him. And so the call goes out. My call goes out. The call of Scripture goes out this afternoon. For Mary-like women to take courage and stand for the honor of Christ. Now, let's look over to Acts 9. I learned this from Mr. Summers. We're just going section by section here. Acts chapter 9. Very interesting story here. And we will begin at verse 36. Now there was at Joppa a certain disciple named Tabitha, which by interpretation is called Dorcas. This woman was full of good works and alms deeds, which she did. It's an interesting way of putting it, isn't it? She was full of good works and alms deeds, which she did. And it came to pass in those days that she was sick and died. And when they had washed, they laid her in the upper chamber. And for as much as Lydia was nigh to Joppa, and the disciples had heard that Peter was there, they sent unto him two men, desiring him that he would not delay to come to them. Then Peter arose and went with them. And when he was come, they brought him into the upper chamber, and all the widows stood by, weeping and showing the coats and garments which Dorcas had made while she was with them. But Peter put them all forth, and kneeled down and prayed, and turning him to the body, said, Tabitha, arise. And she opened her eyes, and when she saw Peter, she sat up. And he gave her his hand and lifted her up, and when he had called the saints and widows, presented her alive. And it was known throughout all Joppa, and many believed in the Lord. So if Mary is marked by exceptional courage, then here is a woman, Dorcas, a woman of quiet action. A woman of quiet action. Now what, if I hadn't read this particular portion in Acts chapter 9, and I just said, well, we're going to read from Acts 9. What would first come to your mind? Oh, well, you say the great apostle Paul and his conversion, or possibly the character of Barnabas, or the wonderful miracles of Peter. But Tabitha, Dorcas, what did she do? What value does she have in the work of the gospel? No fanfare, no big splash, no super heroics, other than the fact that she was raised from the dead. But, I mean, that wasn't her. That was kind of done to her. But as far as her actions are concerned, verse 36 says, she was full of good works and acts of compassion, alms deeds. And after her death, we learn that she was a seamstress, and she gave away these garments to the needy in the town of Joppa. And after Peter raised her from the dead, it says there were many, many who turned to Christ. Some, I've read a little bit about this woman, and some actually look at her sewing as a gift. I mean, a spiritual gift. Well, I wouldn't probably go quite that far. But what I would say is this. It was a talent. It was a God-given talent. It was something she may have learned as a little girl and developed. And what we do know is that she surrendered this talent to the Lord and to His service. And I would take it that she used her ability coupled with her gift of compassion to reach these people in the town of Joppa. You know, sisters play a huge role in the furtherance of the gospel. And I think this is something that needs to be emphasized. The sisters, I can just give a few examples, like the sister that I know who volunteers to help the vulnerable women in her area. Or the sister who runs the Moms and Tots program. Or the sister who gets a few like-minded sisters in her home to pray. Or the sister who seeks to raise her children for the glory of God. Or the sister who puts packages together with other sisters for the homeless and involves those that are younger in her assembly. And the list is endless, really. And some of these things just seem like normal, ordinary, humdrum things. But when they are done for the Lord with the right attitude, have enormous value. Interestingly, Dorcas or Tabitha means, do you know what the name of this woman means? I never knew it until I looked a little deeper. Her name means gazelle. Gazelle. Now, you know that when a gazelle awakes on a hot African morning, it has one objective: to outrun its fastest predator. The one positive quality of the gazelle is its speed. In Thessalonians, Paul asked the believers to pray. You know what he asked them to pray for? That the gospel would have free course. That it would have speed. That it would move forward with a rapid movement. And linked here with the good works and the progress of the forward movement of the gospel, we see this coupling of activity of this woman Dorcas and the preaching of the gospel, and we see the work of God moving forward. Your life, dear sister, your actions, your work, your attitude will either add credit to or detract from the glorious gospel of God. This is true, I guess, regardless of gender. And in fact, we learn how works and words are necessary to going together for the furtherance of the gospel. And so the call goes out for Dorcas-like women to continue in your good works and acts of compassion of the virtuous woman. In Proverbs 31, it says, she opens her hand to the poor and reaches out her hands to the needy. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue. Now, there could be a lot of good examples. I have a number of them here in front of me, but for sake of time, I just want to touch one other woman, and it's found in Acts chapter 18, and I will close just by briefly mentioning this particular woman. A woman of exceptional courage, a woman of quiet action, Priscilla. Notice verse 24. And a certain Jew named Apollos, born at Alexandria, an eloquent man and mighty in the scriptures, came to Ephesus. This man was instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in the Spirit, he spake and taught diligently the things of the Lord, knowing only the baptism of John. And he began to speak boldly in the synagogue. And when Aquila and Priscilla had heard, they took him unto them and expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly. And when he was disposed to pass into Achaia, the brethren wrote, exhorting the disciples to receive him, who when he had come, helped them much which believed through grace, for he mightily convinced the Jews, and that publicly, showing by the scriptures that Jesus was Christ. A woman of spiritual wisdom. A woman of spiritual wisdom. Now, I'm not going to say too much, but what I have enjoyed, I think we are all clear on the fact that when it comes to assembly gatherings, 1 Timothy 2, women are not to teach, but there is a sphere outside the local church gatherings where they are commanded to teach, Titus 2, for example. And Priscilla here obviously took that exhortation seriously. What I have enjoyed from looking at this particular story in Acts 18 is the togetherness of this man and his wife Priscilla. This is a good plug for Christian couples, and in 18 and verse 3 we learn that they worked together in the same tenting business. Well, God's work in us is individual. We can see that they grew together. They were both well learned in the scriptures, and directed Apollos in relation to the Lord Jesus in verse 28. And it seems evident that he was the center and focus. The Lord Jesus was the center and focus of their lives. If we were to jump over to 1 Corinthians 16, we would learn that not only did they work together and grow in faith together, but they served and sacrificed together. Chapter 1 Corinthians 16, verse 19. The church in Ephesus was meeting in their house, and together they served God's people. Listening to Mark this morning, I couldn't help but think of the sacrifice of couples. And our brother Mark and Brenda and Kyle and Allie taking care of 9 young men for a full year. Takes a lot of sacrifice. But here in Acts 18:26, we learn that they taught together. So they worked together. They grew in faith together. They served and sacrificed together. They taught together. It says they explained the way of God more perfectly. This woman was a woman of great spiritual wisdom. She knew her Bible. She knew her God. She was able to communicate the same. It was not just some little devotional that they were giving to Apollos. No, it was a clear explanation of the doctrine of salvation. If we were to come to Romans chapter 16, we learn that they suffered together. They moved from Rome to Corinth and to Ephesus and to Rome, and because it was all because of persecution. And in this section, Paul says they risked their own necks for my life. And so here was a couple. And I mean, there are many present day examples. One that immediately comes to my mind is and Mr. Goff has been mentioned already a few times in relation to Stephen's work, but Gaius and Linda Goff. I've often been impressed at how they serve together in the work of the gospel. And so the call goes out, yes, for Mary-like women, women of courage, women who are willing to do the right thing. For Dorcas-like women, women who are willing to give of themselves and women of quiet action and doing what needs to be done. And here, Priscilla and Aquila. Priscilla, a woman of spiritual wisdom. And the call goes out to women that you might get into your Bibles and learn your Bible and learn your God. If you were to turn to Philippians 4, which I'm not going to do, you would learn about Syntyche and Euodias. And I would call them women of community spirit. The expression that popped out at me as I was reading about these two women lately was that they served side by side. That's what Paul said. They served with me. They labored with me in the gospel side by side. And so I'll let you flesh out some of the details of that particular story. May God bless his word.